Hello and welcome to The Portion of the Ocean. My name is William and with me today is Haley.
Hello guys.
She has experience in the aquatic environment. So today we're going to be talking about the red tide in Florida. Right now we're both living together in Tampa Bay, and this has been a major problem within the few years now, but I feel like right now it's bigger than it's ever been. So Haley's going to be mostly answering some questions we have. I'm going to be talking more about some news articles of what's happening with fish and how the red tide is affecting humans as well. So Haley, thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah, no worries. With us.
So our first question is pretty much, what is the red tide?
So red tide is a naturally occurring microorganism. It's called Carina brevis. It's naturally in our oceans, but when it comes to be red tide, it is an overpopulation of those microorganisms due to biotic and abiotic factors such as temperature change and things like pollution. So that's why we're seeing such an uproar, so to speak, of red tide this year.
Also, what I was looking at when I was doing some research is that this algae, when over 1 million cells per liter in a certain area, can cause the discolor, which is the highest level can be.
Yeah, so that's where it gets the name red tide. It will literally change the tide coloration, and it will change to more of like a tannish red coloration, and it doesn't really look pretty at all.
And so there's also different levels as well. So the highest one is 1 million cells. There's a medium level that's only 100,000, but that's also still harmful for fish and humans as well. But that one doesn't have color, so how do we know? Like, how do we know, like, if it's safe to go, pretty much?
So, understanding these different levels is the same way of kind of, like, understanding pollen levels. So, obviously, there's going to be pollen at certain times of the year. Certain times it's going to be way higher than others. So, in the summer here, especially in Florida, you're going to see a lot higher temperatures. So, you're going to see an increase of that microorganism, Carina brevis. So it's just understanding when it gets to that point, like you said, those million cells per liter in an area where it becomes harmful for those fish in the aquatic environment and for us as well. So it's really checking that news on a daily basis, seeing the increase or the capacity of that microorganism in the water to see if it's safe for you to go out and visit the beaches, or if it would be better spent inside so you don't harm yourself.
All right, thank you. So our next question is, how does the red tide affect fish? Which you kind of a little bit answered, but let's go into more details about how the red tide really affects fish.
How it affects fish. So it creates what's called anoxic zones. So anoxia means that there is no oxygen in the area, and oxygen is required by fish and us as humans to breathe. Even though they are in the aquatic environment, they will take the oxygen from the water, move it through their gills in order to survive and get oxygen and live. And when they are swimming in those anoxic zones, they are not getting the required amount of oxygen needed to survive. And that's where we're seeing all of those increases in dead fish now washing up on the shores, etc., because there's no oxygen in the area for them to breathe because the Carina brevis is taking it all up.
Yeah. So we also have a few news articles that I was able to search up. One of them is from The Guardian, which is a pretty reliable source. So what we had here is we had a nice little article, I guess not nice little article, but an article about sharks fleeing the toxic red tide to take refugees in Florida canals. So we have lemon, black tip, bonnethead, and nurse sharks retreating from the ocean into our canals, which from the article it says, oh, we get maybe less than 100, but now since the red tide happened, we're seeing over hundreds of sharks entering Florida canals now.
Yeah, so they're pretty much trying to advert around the problem, and but what doesn't make it better is these increased temperatures. They're creating larger zones for these sharks to be able to reside between, and so we're seeing them being able to climb into our canal. So like it said, we're starting to see about what it said, about 100 on average within a year within the canals, and that's due to that temperature increase. But they are residing more so within those canals and staying there over longer periods of time because their natural homes are not up to current living standards for them. And so they're trying to find other ways or other places to live and survive, which is coming into our canals, unfortunately, which can cause issues, more issues between shark species or aquatic species and humans, because we use canals for other things as well.
Yeah, right. So another article I was also looking at, this is just a typical news report from the CBS Miami, which is weird that Tampa didn't have this article. Tampa, I feel like Tampa was trying to hide this article, but Miami, a news report in Miami recorded that Pinellas County in Tampa Bay was one of the worst red tide fish kills ever. This was this year, late July, early August, after 3 million pounds of dead fish was cleaned up over a weekend. It says that the red tide now has stretched about 100 miles of the Florida Gulf Coast now and has moved right into the Tampa Bay area as well.
So another unfortunate thing that we're seeing with these record-breaking red tide years is that year after year we're seeing an increase of the spread of red tide. So like I said, it's all the way up here in Tampa Bay now. Last year, I remember it only residing mostly down towards Sarasota, Fort Myers area. I don't remember it being relatively concerning up in Tampa Bay, and so now it has become an issue in Tampa Bay, and it's probably only going to spread more and more along the coastlines in years to come.
Yeah. Now, let's talk more about how the red tide affects humans now.
Yeah. So we also need oxygen in order to breathe. If you've ever gone to the beach during a red tide season, it smells, not fishy, it stinks, quite honestly. And they are really seeing a fume. I don't want to quite say a toxin, but that's kind of what it is truthfully a toxin, but they're releasing an aerated substance into the air, which we can breathe in, which will affect our lungs as well. It can cause issues with your asthma if you are an asthmatic. Depending on the level, when it's really hard or really high, sorry, so to speak, it can cause you shortness of breath. It can actually even put you into respiratory distress, and you can go to the hospital with respiratory issues because of the amount of inhalants from the red tide that you have inhaled.
Yeah. So the things listed here, what I was researching, was lung bronchitis, asthma, shortness of breath, and coughs is what would happen. Not to mention that we're losing lots of local fish, like a fish shortage of good meals for us to have, because right. I love eating fish, and this is sad for me because this is all 3 million pounds of fish is a lot of fish that we lost.
Yeah, there's a lot of seafood fans here in Florida, Tampa Bay, residential communities, and we get a lot of local food right from the bay and surrounding areas, and out in the Gulf if you're West Side Florida area. And so, yeah, 3 million fish, some people are like, oh, it's only 3 million fish, there's lots of fish in the ocean. But coming from the standpoint of those seafood fans and lovers and enthusiasts, and not even to mention the fishermen and fishing industries and all of that, you're really knocking down our economy and our resources and our food availability, which isn't good for us either.
It's not a win-win for anyone. This is a loss-loss for people who love fishing, people who want to take care of animals, who like love aquatic species like you, me who like seafood. We're all losing this battle. There's no winning. There's no good outcome for this.
Yeah, the ecotourism, there's nowhere to snorkel.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to get local seafood. The fishermen are losing jobs, and it's not good for anyone involved.
No. All right. So the last thing we're going to talk about now is pretty much the forecast. A forecast of what will happen if this continues to happen. So pretty much what I was researching is pretty much now we have to add another forecast to, you know, the news reports. You go to the beach, they tell you like, oh, like it's a green flag day. It's a good day to go to the beach. So now they had to add a new section of this. And I was looking at this, ooh, thank you with the MOPE, is that they have now reports now of beaches. So it tells you what flag. So it's a yellow flag today. What beach is this? This is in Venice, North. It tells you all the flags, the rip currents, there's none. It tells you high and low tides, watercolor, temperature. And then they added a new one, which is drift algae, which you can see on this one. This beach has red micro algaes, which is, I'm going to guess that's the red tide. Respiratory irritation is light, dead fish, some. So they have some categories in this now because of the red tide, showing you guys now that there are going to be dead fish at this beach now. It also shows you crowds. So for this beach, there's, from reports today, there is no crowds because of the red tide. We've been to the MOPE one, well, you've been multiple times. I've been to it once. A nice aquarium.
Yes.
What's another thing is pretty much now, if red tide is bad, so let's say this beach now, since this could be no crowds, I'm guessing this beach is closed because of the red tide. So now we have to look at, is beaches unsafe? So maybe we should have a seasonal beach shutdowns, which I know that will affect tourism a lot. But should we start looking at now seasonal beach shutdowns? And what sucks is it's going to be during summer as well. The more
when the tourism is higher, everyone wants to come down when it's nice and warm and go out to the beach. But I am not against seasonal beaches, especially due to the fact that red tide is becoming such a strong presence during those times. And unfortunately, it does happen to be with the summer seasons when it's warmer, but it's also Florida and it stays relatively warm all year round, but it also coincides with summer breaks, so it's not quite the easiest solution either. So finding a good median line of, well, these are historically the worst beaches to go to because they get hit the strongest with the red tide presence. And so if you do like to come down to Florida in the summertime and enjoy our beaches, we still recommend you doing so. We love seeing you down here, enjoying our beaches and our local flora and fauna, etc. But we recommend you visiting these beaches as they are not currently either being affected by red tide or the level of Carina brevis currently present at that beach line is minimal, and so it risks the least amount of exposure to you of Carina brevis, etc., things like that.
So right now I'm looking at another beach. This is on the east coast of Florida, and the east coast of Florida is a lot better, as we're mostly seeing this red algae, this red tide, mostly on the west coast. So,
And that's where it's shown up historically in years past, is along that west coast from like Sarasota down to Fort Myers, down towards the Keys. And unfortunately, with this Carina brevis, it has affected our coral reefs down at the Keys, which is not good because corals provide us with a bunch of important materials and things like oxygen. And so seeing our corals being affected, as well as our fish and ourselves, isn't good, especially if we're going to see a trend of it continuing and getting stronger with years to come.
We're going to try and answer this, but how do we stop or less this red algae? Is pretty much the thing we can stop more directly is the pollution in the beach shores. It is pretty much number one thing that we can stop. The earth is always going to get a little bit warmer. That's a little bit more hard control, but more direct pollution dumpage, like toxic. I know fertilization in ocean water is number one dumping thing we do in the ocean. So definitely stopping those will at least lessen this algae bloom, not be so much damaging to humans and fish as well.
Yeah, definitely watching your carbon footprint getting more eco-friendly cars, watching your carbon emissions, things like that. All of those eco-friendly type mannerisms, because when you are expelling that carbon gas into the ecosystem, it's creating a layer, which is affecting our ozone layer, another naturally occurring thing, which helps almost to say keeps us insulated, but also protects us from the sun. It's that UV layer. The CO2 creates a layer, and it will expose that ozone layer and will destroy it. And so then we're getting those really hot summers, lots of humidity down here. So it's going to be one of the first, I don't want to say protection, or I guess is protection, or one of the first courses of action to reverse this issue.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the physical pollution in the ocean, the dumping of hazardous waste materials.
I definitely feel like more direct should be stopped first, and then we can think about the more secondary for right now.
Yeah, and you have to start somewhere. Water in the ocean counts.
Yeah.
And with every small drop, before you know it, you've got a pond. And then from a pond, it'll burst into a river. And then the river runs down and makes an ocean. So you got to start somewhere, and the results will follow.
All right. Well, that's all we had for the questions. Thank you, Haley, so much.
No worries. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
We also want to thank the sources of the research I've done. So thank you to the MOPE, the Marine Laboratory, FWC, which is the Florida Wildlife Conserve. We also have the Ocean Conservancy, the Guardian, and we have the CBS Miami Channel 4. Also, the last two, the Guardian and the CBS, with news articles of some stories that we got about the fish and the sharks. So thank you for the sources. Thank you, Haley, again. So this was Red Tide in Florida. This was recent news. So the oldest article or oldest date I had was July 26th to pretty much now.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah, so 2 weeks ago. Little more than 2 weeks ago. So this is all recent news of what's happening this year. So this was, thank you everyone for listening. This was the portion of the ocean. Thank you so much for listening.